Ironically, I care about everything.
We did things a little bit differently, didn't start with our normal Pirates anthem, but today a new version of Because I Got High came out today.
The positive remix.
Yes, a positive remix coming at you from folks at Normal and Weed Maps, specifically before the upcoming election. I know that there are two cities, states,
D.C.
being one, that have legalization of marijuana on the ballot.
Can I get a what?
What?
And that was if people listen to the podcast, that was a little bit of a side peep from Alfonso.
Yeah, he's apparently supporting legalization as well here.
And if you're wondering, why do I sound so fucking sexy right now? It's because the Interracial John, y'all, got new equipment. Yay!
You're going legit.
We don't have the applause.
Not yet.
Effects.
Give your bell. Hopefully.
I didn't get my bell.
You have to go get the bell. All right, everyone. Well, welcome to the Interracial John. We are coming to you from the suburbs of Philadelphia. And you can find us online at theinterracialjohn.com. We are also on Facebook, Interracial John. We're on Twitter, at Interracial John. And you can also find us on Stitcher Radio, where you can leave us a review. We like 5-star reviews the most. So
yes, you
can find us on there, Interracial John, as well.
You know, I gotta say, Leslie, just real quick, I really always said I hate, really, like, can't stand the sound of my recorded voice. But you know what? I take it back.
Okay.
I don't like the sound of my recorded voice with shit equipment. These condenser mics are the fucking bomb.
Yeah, they do sound really good.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't tell you I was recording when you went to the gym the other day, and I was messing around with the story thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was about the Holiday Inn and the job. And I had the Afro Man's first version, Because I Got High, was going to play in the background at the sort of the punchline scene.
Oh, right, because that's part of the story.
Yeah, I had it queued up.
That's hilarious. Well, maybe you can play the new one now instead.
Maybe. I think I will.
Do a little background on that. So I am at Leslie Mack, and my co-host is...
That very white guy.
You are indeed very white. And as I said before, we are the Interracial John. We are going to jump into our fifth episode, 5 weeks in a row. Woohoo!
That's a bell. That's the only sound effect we have right now.
But currently.
Fifth episode gets a bell.
We'll keep adding them in. We'll see.
Maybe. Maybe if Carl donates a dollar, I'll buy a new sound effect.
It's funny. I just texted him a picture of the new microphones.
What?
So funny. So the first thing I want to mention is that we had the pleasure of guesting on the Chonilla podcast last week, Friday, a week ago.
They're an interracial couple. They get a ding.
They get a ding, too? Okay, awesome. They are great. That's Charlay and Clove. They are from Canada. They do an amazing podcast. In fact, they're going to be live a couple hours from now. We aren't live yet, but they will be tonight.
Is Canadian Eastern? Do they call it 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern in Canada?
She always says every episode, in the motherfucking Eastern time. That's like her thing she does.
Look at the fucking borrowing our time zones. What don't they take?
Oh,
Clove, Shirley, I swear.
Nah. Anyways, we had an amazing time with them. They are so funny. We had a great time just chopping it up and chatting about all sorts of stuff. Philly stuff, interracial couple stuff, alien stuff. I mean, it was a bunch of great stuff we talked about. You can actually find the episode on their website, chonilla.com. And we do highly recommend that you just, you know, follow them, listen to their podcast. They're freaking fantastic.
You know, and now that we have this equipment, I told Charlay. I always want to call her Cheryl. I told her I want to call her Cheryl, but I think that's what she said her friends call her. But I don't know if that was one of those, like, you're not my friend, but you are my friend.
Well,
it was a tweet. Not enough characters. I don't know. I'll have to ask her. Uh-huh. But I kept stepping on them because we didn't have the headsets and the microphones, so I couldn't hear anything.
And plus, it was even worse last week because we did it from the road. We were away, and we were, like, on our little travel, you know,
yeah,
MacBook.
Like, that was,
and
like the D setup.
Yeah, it was definitely not.
It wasn't the studio. That was
we
the
made
D.
it work, though. We looked did, we good. Did, it was good. It was really
you
fun.
Looked good. You always look good.
Oh, you're so sweet. So, as I mentioned, we were traveling. We were in the great state of Michigan.
The Mitten.
In G-Raps, as the kids are calling it, Grand Rapids.
You can't see it right now, but I'm pointing to my hand, because that's what you do in Michigan.
It's like a mitten.
I don't want to call it like a secret handshake. When anyone says something like, oh, I'm from Michigan, they hold up their right hand and they point where on their right hand they're from.
Right.
Right. Like, so Grand Rapids is like down towards the bottom of your wrist.
This will be better. This will be a better bit when we're like on camera.
Yeah, you can't, I suppose, on the radio telling somebody that you're pointing to your hand, but that's what you hold up your right hand, you point to the
mitten. Are. Yeah. Anyway, so we were out there visiting. I know you had some, you had to go to the airport, not with me, but.
Oh, yeah.
So you wanted to talk about that a little bit.
So our friends were letting us stay, and I picked them up at the airport. And so it was maybe like 9:30 Saturday night. And just a slight difference, Philadelphia, when we come to our airport, they don't let you like stop or nothing. You got to go to the cell phone.
They don't
phone
let
lot.
You breathe. Like, you can't get out of, like, even, they don't even like you helping me with my bag.
No, in fact, the one time
get
I was there, the guy was just, you know, blowing the whistle and shouting, you know, move your car. If you're not letting somebody in right at that moment, their luggage isn't like going in the car, you just got to fucking move. So I was trying to text and say to you that I was going to go in the cell phone lot, and the guy's like, hey, you know, you got to move. And I, white guy did. I turned around, I was like, I'm trying to send a text, and I'm trying to send this text, and I don't know what's going on. And he's like, are you yelling at a, I'm a cop. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Android. But so that's the cops in Philadelphia. Grand Rapids, I get there, and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to
make it. But it's like a tiny airport,
it's
right?
Small.
I've never been
there's
there
no,
before.
Like, so Philadelphia has a departure and arrival. There's like one or the other. Like, here it's just
One place.
But so I see the cop, and I think, oh, they're going to wave me along and do this. And he can tweet on the whistle, and like helps me park. Like pull in here, pull a little bit closer. Okay, you're good. And then like walks and keeps on going. It was her, you know, going about her business. And even our friend was like, "Oh, if you have to drive," I'm like, "No, they fucking help me park.
They let me pull in.
I'm parked."
Well, good on you, G-Rex.
And I sat there for a good like 10 minutes. It wasn't even like a short time.
Well, it was a great trip. We had a great time seeing all our friends, and thanks to all of them. If any of them, some of them will listen to this. So thanks to all of them for hosting us. And just having a great time with them was awesome.
It was.
So there were a few developments, though, while we were gone.
Yeah.
Let's go. We'll just jump in a couple of them. First thing I want to talk about is Steve Harvey, just real quick, right? Just for 1 second. So apparently while we were gone, he signed on and launched his new dating website called Delightful.com.
Is it spelled like some kind of way, or is it just Delightful?
No, just Delightful, regular ass Delightful. Their tagline is find love and keep it. I find that ironic because, you know, he's on his second marriage and cheated on his first wife with his second one. So it's kind of interesting.
I don't know why, but I'm hearing the word delightful with that, like, Steve Harvey over voice.
Delightful.
Delightful.
Delightful. Anyways, so I'm just going to read from their website what they say. Welcome to Delightful.com, a community specifically designed to cater to the needs of today's singles. Sharing lifestyles are an important foundation to any relationship. If meeting like-minded single men and single women is important to you, then it says on their website, join peoplemeet.com.
That's like the equivalent of insert URL here, right? Insert affiliate link
I think
here.
It, you know, they're all like linked together anyways. It's owned by the same people that do like Tinder, which is like the like whore one, right? Isn't it? Or something?
Tinder? I don't think
I don't know.
Slut shame people. I think that's the hookup one, though.
Yeah. Well, hookup one, I guess that's more appropriate. You're right. I shouldn't slut shame people. Have sex out there, people. We don't care. And meet.com or match.com. I think it's all like one umbrella. And then like, I guess they're trying to hit different demographics.
Even that thing you just read was so like, it was like the dating website equivalent of Ipsum Lorem. Text.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Specifically designed versus what? Just
randomly
thrown together.
Thrown together haphazardly for no apparent reason.
And then it made some reference to like the, something about singles, but then didn't even follow up. Like, if you're interested in this and you're single, isn't that anyone who's on a dating site?
Yeah, and it says that whether you're looking for pen pals, friendship, romance, or more, enjoy uplifting and compatible relationships in the delightful online
now,
community.
Do you think the more was meant to lift up like marriage or the more like one night stands? Which direction was the more going?
You know, I couldn't tell you.
And I don't want to bag on Steve, but this sounds terrible. Is this the dating website you're putting up more?
No, I'm going to talk a little bit more.
That sounds like the Montel Williams when he has the commercials.
First of all, the
Quick Date Loans or something.
It's really sketchy. Clearly, they just brought him on. And Steve, I'm just going to, he had a Forbes interview about this.
About the dating partnership.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He says that he's there to help women find and keep their love. So apparently we need help with that.
He needs help.
Yeah. And he says, women are wired differently. The one thing I know about women is women don't really just want to date. They want to date with the hope that it leads to a relationship. A man doesn't have any problem at all dating several or a wide variety of people until he finds the right one, he continues. But women, as a rule, don't want to do that. And the reason is scientific. A lot of women have that biological clock that ticks in them.
Is that what he said? That biological clock?
Yeah, that biological clock. So he also has this like really crappy, talk show. And we've talked about it before because he had Paula Deen on. And funnily enough, we happened to turn the TV on last night. They were showing that exact episode. He's like, I'm going to get a lot of slack for this.
We didn't even talk about it. Did you see where she kind of like went in for the kiss and he almost was going to dap it. It was weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was awkward.
I'm not going to get back into that whole thing. Here's just a little like taste of the advice he does give women on his crappy show. Here we go.
Okay, so you are kind of like my dating guru now.
Okay.
And I'm single and I'm getting back into dating and I've worn glasses forever. Okay. So I'm trying to figure out if I should get contacts or if I should keep rocking the sexy librarian geek chic kind of look.
Okay, let me just stop right there real quick.
Do you see his suit that he was wearing?
We'll talk about his suits in a minute. But really, he's okay. I'm sexy. This is her question. He's a dating guru. She wants to know, should she stick with her geek chic sexy librarian or not?
Hot or not.
What do you think he's going to say?
I just think that's like hot or not. That's like the, am I hot or not?
So what do you think?
He's going to embarrass her and say, wear contacts. You should wear contacts.
All right, let's
see.
I'll tell you the best thing to do. Ask a group of men.
Oh.
What looks best?
Holy shit, I was fucking dead on. It's hot or not. He's doing a hot or not in real life. For real.
Real time.
I fucking hit that on the head.
Real time. Because you know what we women like even more than our biological clocks? It's being judged in public.
I can tell.
It doesn't matter if you're married. This is not a dating question.
Oh, it doesn't matter. They're all the men there. They're standing up. They're going to vote, probably.
This is her with her glasses.
Here we go.
He's really doing it.
Take your glasses off.
Okay, now she's taking them off. She can't see shit, but here she goes.
She's seriously keeping you guys squint.
We like throwing hair.
Oh, they like throwing hair.
Okay, fellas. Now that's it.
Those are some wide pinstripes on that suit.
Now we're going to vote. Glasses. Put your glasses on.
Was the vote like a show of hands?
They're going to just raise their hands. This is going to be very comfortable. I was just clapping. Only the men get to clap.
Applause meter.
Throw it. Throw it. Glasses off.
Sounded about the same to me.
They're encouraging whoops.
See, so it was claps and whoop. That's important to listen for a guy.
Important.
See, if a guy sees you and goes, hey, wow, you look nice. But if a guy goes,
Are you okay, sis?
Oh, man.
Are you okay, sis?
This is, like, creepy.
I'm Steve Harvey.
There you go, he says. He's got it all figured out for her. You want to make a man go, whoa, apparently. Anyways, this is the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard because, as I have mentioned, he is on a second marriage and his first marriage ended when he had an affair and he is now married to the woman he had the affair with. So there's that. It's been a pretty ugly divorce. You guys can Google it, but his wife has been like on radio shows coming on and like bad mouthing him and all sorts of stuff. It's pretty funny.
He's the arbiter of everything.
Sure.
What was his book? Think Like a Man?
Think Like a Man, pay him some money. That's what that is. So I just put together a real quick list of what I think Steve Harvey should be doing instead of giving women dating advice because he really sucks at that, clearly.
Ooh, I'm interested. Let's hear it.
So the first thing he should do is he should put out a line of mustache combs.
Definitely. Maybe combs and waxes, like a Steve Harvey stash kit.
Yeah, a whole stash kit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He should create a paint line of ghetto suit-inspired colors. Because he's really...
Would it be like all like pastels and charcoal grays and shit?
Mustard yellow and like you know, seafoam green.
I don't think I've seen a pinstripe that wide on a suit since
why. JB. Yeah. JB holds
like
that
like a 4-inch pinstripe.
On Inside the NFL. 60-inch
chest.
He could ask his first wife what she thinks about him giving advice about how to become more dateable. He could do that.
He could.
He could start by rescuing those fatherless young black men he sold off to Paula Deen a few weeks ago.
Sold off is a little strong, but okay.
I'm just saying. Okay. They orphans. She taken possession of them at some point, right?
As a white guy, I'm not co-opting the sold off. I'm not signing on that.
I didn't say I mentioned he could do that instead of giving advice.
Okay.
Man, fuck you, Steve Harvey. That's all I have to say about that. Don't nobody want to hear from you. And definitely do not want to hear about your dating advice, so...
No.
Just stop.
Not needed.
So I think you wanted to talk about this Duck Dynasty dude. What's his name?
Phil Robertson.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because he's an avowed homophobe.
Yeah.
And a wonderful individual. But if you have the clip, he basically made a comment about biblical sex. It was a little bit weird. And then saying that if you're in a relationship with... Well, just here, play the clip and let's...
And let's see.
See if we can't hear it in Phil's own
words. Is this like at a church or something?
It's a church. Real firebrand stuff.
Okay.
He's shaking the podium.
Oh. So it's like sodomy.
He gets loud. Okay. Because loud is right.
According to what is regarded as orthodox liberal opinion, in matters of, are you ready, sexuality, the Bible says one man, one woman, that's what I made to begin with. For this reason... We have a male and a female. For that reason, those two can come together and be married.
He just made the like kid playground sign for sex, by the way.
Man,
here it comes.
Marries woman. They can procreate, fill the earth with offspring. You need to stay together just like that. You know what those two will never.
You can pause it now. You don't need to rest this crap. But that's his.
They'll never have a. He's saying if it's just because it's man and woman having sex, they won't have a sexual transmitted disease. This is like the worst thing I've ever heard. Oh my God, these poor people. I hope nobody's just listening to him. That's scary.
No, it's really like, it's dangerous, right?
It's dangerous.
It's not even bad. It's just.
It's so bad.
It's dangerous. In fact, I looked it up. The CDC had indicated that the most new HIV infections. Rising were among African-American women.
Of course.
And African-American women are 87% attributed to heterosexual contact.
Yep.
They are infected at a rate 20 times their white female counterparts.
But I mean, is this like 1982?
Well, but that's part of that rhetoric, right? You know, just if you do this and do that, you won't get STIs. Like,
but didn't this dude cheat on his wife, though?
Well, that's what I was going to get to. So they have a book, I guess, and a movie that was out last year.
A movie?
It was on some sort of Christian channel, like a documentary about him.
Oh,
I didn't bother watching the whole 62 minutes of it, but apparently he did cheat on his wife. And Miss K said in a teaser for the film, in fact, there was two little bits. He cheated on his wife.
Miss K is his wife.
Miss K.
Okay.
Miss K says, and I knew then, but I didn't want to believe it. He was running around on me. And what I would tell my boys all the time is, that's not your daddy. That's the devil in your daddy.
Oh.
And then Kate goes on to explain that after Phil was heavily drinking, he pointed the fingers of adultery at her and accused her of cheating, and she spun down the path of destruction and was suicidal. So this man...
I just want to be clear that she didn't cheat, and just his accusation made her suicidal. And
correct.
He did cheat.
Correct.
But they couldn't get... I guess if he was having sex with a woman, then he wouldn't get STDs anyways, according to him.
Well, let's not even get too deep into the inverse of his argument that if a man and a woman are married and they're having, I guess, I don't know what non-biblical sex is, but
non-biblical sex?
Well, there's all kinds of shit that I'm sure wasn't covered in the Bible. But if you're doing that, according to Phil Robertson, you could in a marriage doing some non-biblical shit, like, I don't know, anal, I guess, get an STI.
But is it like, is a position non-biblical? Or does he mean just vaginally?
I really don't. I don't want to know.
I just feel like if he's going to give this kind of like so specific advice, he should really like go there.
Well, and the thing that we didn't talk much about, but is, I don't want to say perturbing, but remember when he had all the homophobic comics, it was like a, you know, backlash against Duck Dynasty and A&E.
Right.
But the the fans of the show, like the A&E supporters and the Phil Robertson, you know, it's just my opinion, and we'll get to that later today. They were so strong that he was only off the air for like 6 days, 10
yeah,
days.
It was,
and he
was like right no back time on. At all.
And the consequence of it is now he can double down on that shit.
Oh, yeah. Of course he's going to double down.
Oh, no. I can be really homophobic. Yeah. Fire and brimstone homophobic.
Which is like, why does he even care? Like, why don't you worry about yourself? Yes. Why do you... It's like that... What's that little girl in that one video with her dad, she's like, you worry about yourself.
Right.
That's what I want to say to these people. You worry about yourself. Well, you drive.
That's always my favorite retort. It's like, well, you're against gay marriage? Okay, don't have one.
How about that?
Don't
cheat on your wife and keep your ass at home and you'll have these problems. Apparently not get STDs either.
More sage advice from really intelligent people. Those are two bright stars
two
today. Steve Harvey and Phil Robertson.
Stars of advice for the people of the world. Awesome. Well, I guess I'll turn to some more serious stuff. One thing I do want to mention very quickly, there was a new Twitter feed called @killedbycops. And they started on the 10th of October at 6 p.m. Their first tweet says, for the next week, we will post every hour of remembrance of a black person killed by cops. Enough is enough. The police killings must end. They have been posting steadily for that entire time from now on, then until now. Most recently, about 30 minutes ago, they posted about Edward Ned Jr., who was 48. He was killed by Lake Charles PD on November 8th, 2004. So, check that out. It's pretty. Just follow them.
How often are they posting?
Every hour. And they've been doing it since the 10th. Today is the 17th. They're doing it for a full week.
Geez, they could do it a lot longer than that. I saw.
Oh, they can. They were starting with this every hour for this first week. So they've had 170 tweets since then.
Wow.
Yeah. It's 170.
And the handle's killed by cops?
Killed. KILLEDBY. Cops.
Yeah. Okay. Extrajudicial killing Twitter handle.
Yep.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing I want to talk about was actually sort of personal thing, not really directly connected to me, but I do some work with a legislative group, and one of the people in the group with me, it's people all over our state here in New Jersey. And she called me while we were away actually, and said, I really need to talk to you. I just wanted to bounce some stuff off of you, which is weird. And, you know, we're friendly through the group and mostly we just talk about things that have to do with the legislative work that we do. So she mentioned to me, she's from Summit, New Jersey. She lives in the Summit, New Jersey area. And there was a racially tinged incident between two of the two area high schools up there. So she had set up kind of a meeting with some of the school officials and some of the clergy from the two towns, Summit and North Plainfield, to discuss it. So I, you know, of course, went to do some research and just see what the heck this was all about. And I'm just going to read the report real quick. Players from a New Jersey high school football team with a largely African-American makeup said members of another team taunted them racially before a game this past weekend. The players said the harassment involved the use of bananas by the opposing Summit High School team as a racially offensive joke. It was in the door. This is a quote. One of the players, and you could see it through the door because it didn't have no doorknob, so you could see right through the hole, said North Plainfield High School football player Anthony LaFond, and they put the banana right through there.
So they're in the locker room, and the visitors versus the other home team.
Yes.
And they're just, is it just bananas? Are they doing the, because in football, right, international, what people call, we call soccer, but
right.
Real football, international football, they do the bananas and the sort of like monkey dance.
Well, it's just through the door. He goes on to say right away there was a banana in the door. And we told our coach, we're like, coach, there's a banana in there. So we took the banana, and then all of a sudden they put another one. And we took the banana out, and there was another one. And they kept on putting them in there.
They just had a bunch.
Okay. Obviously, the North Plainfield players say they were so traumatized that their coach had to console them. There were a few tears shed in the locker room. Their coach said before the game, he gave us like a very inspirational and emotional pregame speech about how they didn't, show courage or character. the people doing this. The Summit High School superintendent said the district has launched an investigation into what it calls an alleged incident on Saturday. So that was obviously parents were upset, students were upset, and it kind of caused a lot of backlash. Now, the school Summit obviously is a predominantly white school, and they claim that this was not a racially tinged incident, but rather simply a practice that they had done for a good luck charm.
Bananas.
Yes, they said the practice
through the keyholes,
The practice of placing a banana in the doorknob was started by players last year, quote, to reduce teams looking in or overhearing each other, end quote. It was considered a good luck charm when Summit won a state championship last season. One of Summit's players began this practice again on Saturday. The North Plainfield...
They're claiming that this is a... What do you call it? Like a good luck charm, and they have to do it. And they, you know, what do you call those? Like a Kabbalah. What's the other word I'm looking for? Like a, I can't think of the word.
Yeah, like a superstition.
A superstition. Yeah. But they weren't doing it until this Saturday.
Just this Saturday.
So last year we won a championship with the banana superstition, and it's a superstition. God damn it, it's our tradition, but we haven't done it until you just called us out on it.
Okay. Correct. I'll make sure I'm clear. Window.
Okay.
Obviously after that, they actually. Submitted written reports to the New Jersey Sports Association that runs this kind of thing up there. And they found enough evidence that they needed to bring the case to a hearing, which actually is being heard today. Literally today. Yes. Friday, the 17th. They're having a banana hearing. And the controversies committee is who's going to be at the hearing and kind of deciding what's going to happen from here. They have between 8 and 10 administrators from all across the state. And then it can be appealed by either side, whatever their ruling is. And then there could be a final appeal after that that would go to the state commissioner of education.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it's not like an internal, just their schools handling it. Like there's a school board, there's other people getting involved.
Yeah. Right? You know, it's interesting. It's going to be kind of tricky because Summit happens to literally, I'm not joking, have the longest running winning streak in the entire state.
Really?
And has set a record, like, period ever.
The team that did the thing with the banana has the record winning streak that hasn't been doing the superstition of the banana.
Well, as I said, they won the...
Sounds like a superstition they do when they play black teams.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I don't think you call that superstition, more
well,
like...
Well, it's funny. So I wanted to read their two kind of accounts of it. But since all of this started coming out, obviously the news, you know, people started probing a bit more, talking to other schools, and they have since found out that they've spoken to, I think, 3 white schools who did not have this happen to them and 2 predominantly black schools who also were treated to the banana treatment at their facility.
Shocking. You know, can you hear Beatrice is snoring. It's coming through on this.
She's really sitting next to you.
I'm glad, but maybe next time let's clear the studio
Get all animals out of here.
Yeah, maybe.
So anyways, I found it interesting because we've been talking about intent all the time. Like, you know, there's this idea people think that their intention somehow negates the outcome of their action. So I thought it was interesting. These students are like, well, we didn't mean to be racist. It's like, yeah, but it was racist. So I don't really give 2 shits what your intent was because the end result was that it's racist and that you didn't even think. Let's just say, I don't think this is true, but let's just say they didn't think it was racist. That doesn't take away the fact that the feeling on the other end was that it was. So I don't know. I have a problem with this whole idea, like intent trumps all. And this is something you hear all the time. Sure. Like, oh, you know, a police officer, he didn't intend to do this. He didn't intend to do that.
The ends justifies the means.
Yeah. Well, no, in this case, they're saying that the means belies the ends.
Oh, right.
Because they're saying that the end doesn't even matter, that their intent is what really people should be looking at. How did I didn't intend to
punch you in the face, but I broke your nose.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I didn't intend to do it.
I know. It's like, you know, they have levels like vehicular manslaughter, for example, involuntary manslaughter. It's like, well, okay, you didn't mean to kill the person, but you know what? They're dead and somebody has to answer for that. This is where I think it's like, okay, your intent's fine, whatever that may. That's neither here nor there. The end result is still that the person's dead, or in this case, that these students were traumatized and treated really crappily.
It's always racist shit.
Like, always.
Online with anonymity. And,
always.
Yeah, and this intent you're talking about, it's like, well, I said this really horrible fucking racist thing, but I didn't intend it that way. But okay, I don't give a shit what you intended. It was still horribly racist.
Crappy. Exactly. Yeah.
Or even it's almost a subtle version of it is, well, that's just my opinion. Okay, right. But your fucking opinion is horrible.
Yeah. Your opinion sucks.
Because your opinion is racist, that means you're a racist.
Just because. Exactly. It's so stupid. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I just wanted to go through that case. I'll certainly keep track of what happens in the hearing and report back next week. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Were you going to talk about it? I thought there was some sort of – the parents at the school were really kind of outraged about
it. No, I mean, obviously the parents at the North Plainfield school.
Some of the white parents. That,
no, I – you know,
when they cancel that game, winning streak, they're going to be shitty pissed.
No, they are going to be shitty pissed. And you can definitely see some of the stories that are from more, you know, slanted information are definitely like, oh, it would be a shame if this happens to the kids, blah, blah, blah,
they're
blah, blah.
They're good white kids.
But I wouldn't go that far because definitely, you know, none of the parents are even quoted as saying anything about it, okay. No, I don't think there's any yet to have. I mean, there really is not much to hang your hat on in this scenario because even the thing is that they've been having all these like hazing issues and stuff like that in these schools. And it's like they don't really have a way of saying like, oh, this is behavior that's acceptable regardless of their intent. You shouldn't be doing any of this stuff.
Was the sodomization finger butthole incident? It wasn't
this. It's in New Jersey, but it's not this.
Yay, Jersey.
Jersey.
The Garden State.
The Garden State. Or butthole state. Okay.
Well, that's actually a good segue maybe into the we were talking about intention. I don't know if I showed you last night. I'm sure you saw it. I tweeted a bunch. But the Ferguson Police Department tweeted out tweet. And then they got some flack, so they deleted it. I'll just read you again. This is the Ferguson Police Department. I just got to ask what the intention is behind this. But the tweet was, Civic Lesson 101. Civics Lesson 101. First Amendment, freedom to assemble. 14th Amendment, guarantee of due process. Just something to think about. Literally. Mm. Like, what the fuck? I guess it's maybe not quite the same thing as intent, but really, what was their intent?
Well,
what was the best possible outcome from that? They deleted it, but just like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? Was that a threat? Like, I don't know.
I don't know who's running the Ferguson Police Department. Clearly, they have a lot of problems over there, generally speaking, in the leadership, vacuum that is Ferguson. But I don't even know. I don't even know what to say about that.
Well, I'm almost afraid to say it because what's the Warren Zevon, like, breathe that into reality kind of thing?
In fact, don't say anything about that. Let's move on.
No, because I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, but nobody wants to hear about that conspiracy because
it could be true.
It could not be true.
If I was running the Ferguson Police Department, I would have totally done some shit like that. But that's okay. We'll leave it for another day.
Yeah, maybe. If you have something else to go along with this conspiracy, we can allow it.
There's never going to be anything that... You mean I have another conspiracy?
No,
you
have a ton of conspiracies.
You mean something to support this theory?
Yes.
That'll never happen.
How do you know?
It'll have to be another tweet.
It could be anything, though.
Okay.
All right, we'll see. Anyway.
Put a pin in it.
We'll put a pin in that. So we are going to do one of our recurring... here. We're going to play this or that this week. So let's do some theme song for this or that. It's like not even letting me
play the
skip this crappy Pampers commercial. I'm like, why would you do a Pampers commercial on this or that? Just saying. Here we go. This or that, y'all. All right. So we are going to play this or that. I know our last this or that was a pretty serious one. We're going to do a fun one.
And if we're being honest, we're keeping score. There's only one. Our faithful reader, Carl, picked the Secret Service.
Yes,
picked my that.
So this or that this week is, which celebrity would you rather have follow you on a Twitter?
What?
So we had a couple of celebrities follow us recently. So I picked who I... out of our...
Does Jesse follow you too?
Yes, he does.
Oh, he does.
He sure does. Recent?
Okay.
He sure does follow me.
I guess I snared Jesse first and Anthony followed you.
Yeah.
But I guess I had a little bit of a nerdgasm.
Yes.
I'm a little bit too old for it, but I geeked out.
You did.
Yes. Well, let's hear your...
So I picked Jesse Williams, who, if you guys don't know, he's an amazing actor and activist and just all around awesome dude. He plays Jackson on Grey's Anatomy. He's amazing, so smart, so talented. He is a graduate of Temple University here in Philadelphia. He also
local boy does good.
That's right. He also taught public high school here, history in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia school system. He is incredibly intelligent and very vocal on anything having to do with civil rights. He was in Ferguson for Ferguson October last weekend.
You're going to mention those eyes, aren't you?
Look, that's coming last. He also is one of the founding members of the Question Bridge, which is an amazing installation that's been traveling around the country and is now online thanks to a successful Kickstarter last year. And dem eyes, y'all. I'm just saying. They look right into your soul.
They do. They cut deep.
They're so awesome. Anyways, he's following me. Follows a very white guy as well. But I'm just saying, if I'm putting my money on somebody who would celebrity I want to follow me, I'm going with Jesse.
Going with Jesse. Okay.
Jesse all the way.
So my geek out was Anthony Anderson. And he started following us. And I have to be honest, he followed you first. And I think you tweeted something about Anthony and Tracy Ellis having great chemistry. And you could see how much they, you know, cared for each other. It was evident. And so play the clip from Black-ish.
Okay.
That I vined. I don't know if it's going to be good audio, but
we'll see.
I really, that show, the pilot was good. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, it's a pilot. The second show was pretty good. That third show, that was the third one, hilarious.
Which I had heard people saying just like the third one's the one that's so good.
Well, they're
so
fucking going there. Yeah, like who writes a joke? They're like, don't feel bad. I'm white. It's being awesome. I should know. We study American history. I'm just kidding. We're the worst. Racism, everyone. Or was it slavery?
Slavery.
So I mind that. And Anthony had retweeted you or tweeted back to you saying like, oh, you know, thanks. And
he of course, because he's so hilarious.
Oh, right.
I had written, my tweet was something like, oh, it's so great. Because they had, Tracy and him had been tweeting each other saying, oh, you were so great. I love you.
You said you mentioned specifically the chemistry.
And I said, oh, you know, your admiration and love for each other and respect is so great to see. And he writes back, thanks, but it's fake.
So, yeah. So I wrote back acting, and then I put the vine, and I think I said something about, you know, white people are the worst. And then I said that it was hilarious, and then I put hashtag truth. And he wrote back that, you know, that was hilarious for that. And then he followed me. But what really was why I geeked out was because before Twitter, maybe about a decade ago, when Facebook was just getting out, I was on Facebook, and for various reasons, I poo-pooed Twitter for a long time, but I was on Facebook, and celebrities were just sort of getting on Facebook, and I had an interaction with Anthony Anderson about Malibute, right?
Malibu's Most Wanted,
right?
Just the name of the album as
well. Him and Taye Diggs and Jamie Kennedy.
Right.
But so I had made a comment about his one line where he goes, nope, you're indicating. He tells Taye Diggs, nope, you're indicating. And he actually wrote back and like friended me on Facebook, and we had a whole back and forth message about how that was completely improvised,
right?
That there was no script at all. But play the scene that I've got queued up from Malibute, Malibu's Most Wanted. His bloodbath and tree.
Whatever. Give me a ride, punker. I will dust your ass.
Nope, you're indicating.
Nope, not convincing. Damn it. Find your core character, Sean. You are an oppressed black man from the ghetto.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding this one.
Hey, think Tupac.
All right, let me try it again.
Just
see it.
I see it. Give me a ride, punk, or I will dust your ass at a biatch. And I think you got it. Give me a ride, punk, or I will dust your ass.
I fucking love it.
Biatch, cricket.
And you know, I just realized, Leslie, is that Taye Diggs follows both of us as well.
Oh, you're so both right. Those guys, that's like, so funny. Taye Diggs does follow both of us, and he follows the John also.
What?
So that's kind of cool.
So I don't have anything really like hype or cool that Anthony does. He's an actor. He's funny as shit. He's been in all kinds of stuff. But I just fucking love him, and we've had a couple of interactions now going over like a decade. I don't pretend to think he remembers, of course. But so this is Anthony Anderson. Who would you rather follow? Have follow you, rather, on Twitter.
Right.
I, Jesse Williams, his handle, or Anthony Anderson.
Those are the options. I think you're going for substance or comedy, kind of. I feel like my thing about Twitter is that
I didn't do the homework. Who's got the bigger account? I think Jesse's got a lot of followers because of his activism. You know,
he does a lot.
What's the over under? One of them's over a million, I bet. I think Anthony's over a million. I think Jesse's probably eight or 900,000.
Even says we follow each other. He has Jesse Williams has 775, and let's look at Anthony.
And growing. I bet you Anthony's over 1 million.
Says we follow each other as well. Nope, 295.
Whoa! So Jesse's much. Yeah, I'm sorry, Anthony. Apologies.
And he's a big Jesse's tweeter too. Jesse tweets a lot, so that's why my thing is like I think better content would come from Jesse, which is why I would want him to follow me. Because I feel like if he retweeted me, it would go to like so many more people, and I don't know. So that's why.
So do a tweet to at interracial John and put the caption this or that, mm-hmm. and tag either Anthony Anderson or I Jesse Williams.
That's right.
Whoever you'd rather have follow you.
Who wins?
This or that.
Vote for
interracial
me,
John.
Jesse Williams. Okay. awesome. So this past week also was the horrible holiday here in the United States, known as Columbus Day.
Or go to the mall and buy shit on sale day.
Whichever.
Half off at Macy's Day, apparently.
Yeah. I really don't even want to get into the reasons why. Like, it's such a horrible thing to celebrate and to have as a national holiday, and it's just the worst. But I thought it would be fun to do some alternative holiday ideas that I think would be way better than Columbus Day.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear
it. So my first one would be Shonda Rhimes Day, where it's TGIT all day long. That'll
like
be a
just
good
Shonda
one.
Rhimes pretty shows.
Just Shonda Rhimes just coming out the ass.
I think you can get some support for Shonda Rhimes.
Could
then.
Do it. Yep. We could do Adele Day, the singer Adele, where jilted lovers are rewarded with $1 million making singles and they get all the fucks. That's it.
The opposite would be Paula Patton Day, I guess.
Don't talk about Paula Patton.
you get a shitty fucking album that sells nothing with tippy toes.
John Hughes Day would be good, where generations sit down and watch at least 3 John Hughes teen movies together. That'd be a good day.
I like it.
My favorite, 1986 Mets Day, where the greatness that was the batting order of Lenny Dykstra, Wally Backman, Keith Hernandez,
Mookie?
Gary Carter, and Daryl Strawberry. That was their batting order. Let
was
me just
Mookie
say that again.
Team?
Hold on a second. I'm going to get to Mookie. Dykstra, Backman, Hernandez, Carter, Strawberry. Come on, man.
That's a good lineup.
That's your fucking starting lineup.
Pretty good lineup.
Not to mention, later in the batting order, Kevin Mitchell, Mookie Wilson, Rafael Santana, Lee Mazzelli, fucking Hojo. Come on, man. 86 Mets Day, way better than Columbus Day.
I always like it because you always told me that whenever that Mookie would get a hit, they'd go, moo, and you thought people were booing him.
Well, because my family's like huge Mets fans. We used to have tickets behind first base, and so we'd go all the time, and I was like, you know, I would take score on the score pad and everything. I was really into it. And when Mookie first started playing, I was like, why are they booing? And then I realized, no, they're saying Mookie. Moo.
That's a good holiday. 86 Mets.
That's a great one. You had a couple. What'd you have?
Yeah. So, Peculiar Proclivity Day. I had a tweep, someone I interact with, that's hibristophilia.
What the hell is that?
It's otherwise known as Bonnie and Clyde syndrome. And,
it's some steal shit?
No. It's somebody who, like, so you know when a person commits a crime and they go to jail and they get all sorts of love letters and stuff?
Oh, okay,
those
yeah.
Those are hibristophiles. So people that...
The people that like the people in jail or the people that are in jail and get the attention?
No, the people that like the people that are in jail.
Okay, so like you're like
bad boy.
Mary,
they
you
call
know.
It Bonnie and Clyde syndrome.
Okay.
And it's more than just
but
liking
that's weird
a bad
thing
boy.
To call it because Bonnie did the crimes.
Well, I don't know why they call it Bonnie and Clyde syndrome.
All right, go ahead.
It's specifically related to sexuality and in fact, achieving orgasm by being turned on by bad. So, Peculiar Proclivity Day.
That's
everyone.
A terrible day. All right, go ahead. What's your other one, man?
Well, the one I really like is Radical Honesty Day.
Okay.
Where you just, for the whole day, you can be just like totally fucking truthful, like that dude on Ray Donovan.
Oh my God, I love that guy on Ray
he
Donovan.
Says, he tells Ray, he goes, you know, be radically honest. And Ray's like, okay, I fucking use you for your money. I hate you. Like, all right, yay, Ray. So, my radical honesty would be, I do not want to see pictures of your cat. Fucking stop. Radical
Enough
honesty.
With the cats.
Enough with the fucking cats.
That actually reminds me when we were in Grand Rapids, they had that one installation that was a big, you know, one of those egg pinball machine thingies where you put a quarter in and you get like
right.
a plastic egg. And it said that inside the egg was the
right.
thing that ties the entire internet together. So we, of course, put our quarters in, opened
it up. And
there's
like 10,000 of these eggs.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge installation.
So many eggs. It's huge. It's like two or three times the size of like a phone booth.
Yeah, big.
Like, it's really big. Really big. And so we get our egg out, open it, and it's a magnet with a cat on it.
It's an LOL cat.
It's an LOL cat, yeah.
You know, the other radical honesty would be, you know, white people, fucking, you're killing black people with this fit description and calling 911 shit.
Oh.
Can we? Is that radically honest enough? Just stop calling 911 and fucking getting people like John Crawford killed. It's kind of ridiculous.
How about worry about yourself?
Worry about your, well, in fact, that's the that would be, I guess, the not that we want to keep talking about bad shit, but segue into that. The,
no, wait, I had one more.
Oh, no,
the actual day that really should be the holiday instead of Columbus Day is fucking Election Day. Can election we get the goddamn day off to go and vote at the polls so people don't have to go to work early or leave work early and actually promote and support people going to the goddamn polls? That's what the day off should be.
Let
in
my
the
people
fall.
Vote. Let my people vote.
Election Day instead of Columbus Day.
I'm here for that. I can all get behind
right.
Election Day.
Yeah, that's right.
So fucking people calling 911, this whole fit the description narrative.
Oh, gosh.
It's just, it's driving me crazy that we, I guess we keep talking about it, but we have to because not enough, I think, people are talking about it. But so there was the most recent one was Dylan Taylor, and he was visiting his mother's grave in Utah. He was a young man that had the headphones on, and the police, I guess, were giving commands to put your hands up, put your hands up. And he got shot to death, and that was obviously ridiculous, and it was someone who called and said, you know, made a comment. I guess the police went with this sort of preconceived narrative that some crime was committing and there was a black person doing it. Same thing, John Crawford, right? So the guy that called on him, Ronald Ritchie, told the media that Crawford was just waving a gun around at children and people, and I can't hear anything, but I think he was loading it. And in fact, if you listen to the full audio tape, not just the synced tape at the Walmart, but the officer's tape of the first responding officer, he was in the parking lot. And when the call came in, he had the, I think this is like his beat, he had the presence of mind to ask the dispatcher, you know, Walmart sells guns. Are you sure? So he even, and I'm not like giving him a pass at all, like he shot and killed John Crawford. But on some level, I'm mad at this Ritchie guy in the system that allowed this to happen. Because the cop kind of did his job, like, you know, this is a Walmart, they sell guns. Are you sure? And the dispatcher's like, yeah, he's waving around, he's aiming at people, he's loading it. So they went in with their shotguns. They didn't even go in with their sidearms or their pistols. They went in with shotguns because they had this sort of, you know, narrative of here's a guy waving, a black guy waving a loaded gun around. And I don't know what's happened to this Ritchie guy, but I really think there
needs
to...
Nothing's happened to him.
Nothing's happened. But even as soon as if you remember before, because Walmart was delaying with the tapes forever, this Ritchie guy went on like the whole teacot, you know, teacut, whatever you call it, talking circuit.
Right.
He kind of got paid. Like he was, I'm a hero, and he had some inflated sort of war and military record.
Well, he claimed he was a Marine, but he
correct.
Got kicked out.
Correct. So, but again, here's somebody who just blatantly fucking lied, and John Crawford paid with his life. So that's ridiculous. And the list goes on. Doing this research was kind of depressing, but Deshaun Curry was a foster child in Indiana, and there's a shout out to Sean King in the Daily Coast. I think that was maybe one of his first pieces on it, but it was really well done. But so Deshaun had bounced around, never really felt at home anywhere, and was reticent to have pictures taken. That's why when the police entered his home,
this kid was in his house,
home, his own.
He came home from school
home.
And was home. So and just imagine yourself coming home from school.
He was literally watching TV
eating
with a bowl
ice cream.
Of cereal. Yeah, literally. And so the cops bust in, right? They come in aggressively, and they question him, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Because a neighbor had called, and Deshaun only lived there maybe, I think, a year, but the neighbor had called and said, someone's
breaking your glass. No, Deshaun had been with the family for a year, but they had recently moved to this neighborhood.
Right, that's
what it
is. So 6 months.
It was.
Okay. So he's at risk. He's a foster child. It's a white family. They're doing all they can to try to make this young man, Deshaun, feel comfortable in their home, in their neighborhood. And he was, you know, he'd been to a few different homes and he wasn't sure if he wanted to make this his permanent home. So understandably, he wasn't in a lot of family pictures. There weren't pictures of him and this other family on the mantle. It was mostly these white folks. So when the cops came in, they used that against him. They literally, how come your pictures aren't on the mantle? Who are you? What are you doing here? You don't belong here. And, you know, it would have been great if it had just sort of ended in an awkward disagreement. But no, they fucking tased him. Yeah, I should say maybe.
No, they didn't tase him. They fucking pepper sprayed him.
Oh, they pepper sprayed him.
In his own house.
In his own home. In his own home. I suppose I shouldn't overly state it. They pepper sprayed him, not tased him. But I guess they could have killed him, right? Could have been a little bit worse for Deshaun.
I mean, I don't think that tasing is any better than pepper spraying. And I almost think the pepper spraying's worse because it's like, to some extent, it like actually defiles the fabrics in the house and the walls and the, you know what I mean? Like there's like a permanent, you know, reminder of
it. If you watch, I think it might be on the Daily Cusp article, but there was a video where they're talking to the father and he just, it almost breaks your heart. He's addressing the camera and he says, we've been working with Deshaun for the last year, everything we've been working on to make him feel comfortable and safe in our home and our neighborhood got stripped away and taken away from us. And it just, you know, I mean, it's like, it's crazy. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. But so that's the three different examples that have happened recently. There was a really good video. I blogged about it. The Misfits as a group, Simple Misfits on YouTube. And they have a whole series of Black Guy Does This versus White Guy Does That. There's one, the most recent is Black Guy Robs a Liquor Store. So it's two dudes, one with a hoodie, or both with hoodies, white guy, black guy. White guy goes in the liquor store, and he's just, you know, hey, how you doing? What can I get for you? Black guy goes in the liquor store, can I help you? What do you need? You need more of that? Let me help you. And they're kind of hovering over him. But the worst one was the black guy breaks into a car.
Right.
So they put a car with a car alarm on a street, busy street, and the white dude in this group, this comedy troupe, I guess it is, he's attempting to break into the car with like a Slim Jim or a hanger for a good like 10 minutes. The fucking car alarm's going off like, meow, 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 meow. Everyone's just people walking their strollers, walking by. At one point, you can't even make this shit up. At one point, a cop car pulls up in front of the car he's trying to break into and then pulls away for like 10 minutes. Nobody bats a fuck. In fact,
the guy literally is like, when I watched it, the white guy's hilarious because he's just like looking at the camera that's clearly like positioned across the street and he's like shrugging and like putting his hands up like, I don't know what to do. Nobody's stopping me.
He's not even trying to be like secret. No, he's jacking the car straight up.
Blatantly, like clearly trying to break into the car.
Did you notice the only person on the entire...
Oh, that one black dude.
The only person that side-eyed the white dude breaking in the car was the black guy.
Yeah.
He was like,
this don't look right.
Don't look right at all. So cute black dude.
I'm gonna worry about myself.
Same scenario, same car, you know, trying to break into it. I kid you not, it wasn't even like 20 seconds. It literally, the phones were out instantly.
Immediately. They had that dude pressed up, arms behind him.
So I'm talking again about white people calling cops. Sure. So black guy's breaking into the car. The alarm goes off. White people shit a brick. They start pulling out their cell phones. It's under 2 minutes. Under 2 minutes, yeah. The cops are there. And it's a little bit worse than even saying. The cop comes out and says, show me your hands. Show me your fucking hands. Get up against the fucking wall. He's got his gun drawn. Finger like over the guard, like it's not even a little bit, like he's got his gun out. It's not hand on the hip, it's not what are you doing, it's gun out over the guard. Show me your fucking hands up against the wall.
And you know what gets me about that whole thing is that, like, let's just say that the guy was breaking into a car. Is a car worth pulling your gun out on?
For real.
Like,
Whose car was it?
I just want to know, like, when did personal property become a reason to kill someone? Or even take the step of getting to a point where you could think about that. He wasn't showing any aggression. There was no weapon involved, and no weapon should have been mentioned in the call
that was
made.
That's my point, Leslie. The entire narrative, black guy, crime, gun.
Yeah.
That's exactly...
I don't think it's a black guy, crime, fear. That's what the cycle is. Fear. It's not gun. It's
guns
fear.
At the end of fear. Black guy, fear. Crime, fear, fear, pull out my fucking
They're going to do something to me. You know, we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. I know we're doing some research to put together some stuff on this whole police fear of black bodies, which is a whole other thing. But yeah.
So
totally effed up.
I said to you kind of as a joke, and I can't believe that somebody actually maybe started doing this. I'm not sure because Anonymous is... I'm not going to poo-poo on him or anything, but I'm not a big fan either. But so I said in my mind, I'm thinking, what could we do to combat this 911 sort of nonsense? And one of the thoughts I had, I always like to think sort of bizarre and radically, what if we were to flood the system with non-violent, fake kind of 911 calls, almost so that the boy who cried wolf, so that when the scared white person calls about a hooded black person in the neighborhood, it's like, fuck, man, another one of these calls. Like,
yeah, but they just would just keep shooting black people.
Well, so I made it almost like a joke to you about, like, maybe that's one way to do it. And apparently in St. Louis, some group affiliated with Anonymous is posting flyers saying just that, to make fake 911 calls with, you know, saying this person has a gun or that.
I think that's terrible because they will just shoot black people and not give two fucks about it.
Yeah, I don't know, Anonymous, is we were talking earlier about intentions, and I think oftentimes their intention is misinformation and confusion anyway, so I don't pretend to know.
I think that's a terrible idea. I'm just saying it on the record.
I like I said, I didn't actually do it or suggest it. I just was thinking like, hey, that might be one way to do it.
And I mean, it would work if you called and said it was white people committing crimes. That would be interesting.
You know, I think
what their response
the
would be.
The more meta thought that's just dawning on me is like, fuck, I think just like Anonymous. The fuck?
Conspiracy. Maybe you are Anonymous.
No!
That's funny. Shh, maybe you're Black Canseco.
Don't say that. Don't fucking say that. Very white guy. You didn't know that? As soon as Black Canseco disappeared off Twitter. As soon as
Black Canseco left, very white guy appeared on the scene.
As soon as Rodimus Prime doxed Black Canseco.
That's like Rod tried to insinuate that I was GOP black chick the other day. And I was like, please don't. Try and even say that I have anything to do with that madness.
Not, you do have an alter ego, but it is not GOP
Black
Check.
No, it is not GOP Black Check, and we don't need to talk about that. Okay, so did you have more about that?
No, that's just it. Stop fucking calling 911 and saying black people are doing shit because they're dying. And I think to stop it, I think there needs to be some legislation that really makes it almost – punishable. Like if it's liable.
But I think it's deeper than
that
though, Drew. Like my thing is this, like I just feel like this is what needs to really be confronted in this, you know, I feel historic time in our history with regard to racial injustice and how our country deals with race is that it's much more insidious than that, because the fear that white people have is real. Like they really do fear black people. It's been just drilled into them. It's inherent. It's, you know, when I see these angry white people at the screaming at the protesters in St. Louis at like the Cardinals game or the Rams game or whatever, I'm literally like, what are you so fucking mad about? What are you upset about exactly? I just want to know, what are white people so mad about? I don't understand the vitriol and the anger that comes from them. They're mad because people are protesting. Like, why does that bother you?
Did you see the piece? I didn't share it. I shared it a few times. I don't know if you saw it, but it was a empirical study that showed that white people literally have trouble empathizing with people that don't look like them.
Oh, sure.
So they had like, you know, some sort of brain scan type deal set up, and they had, you know, and they didn't even do anything like crime or this, that. It was banal tasks like drinking water.
Mm.
And so when you drink water and you see somebody drinking water, your brain goes through a pattern of electroconnectivity that's almost mimicking that same behavior internally. And it's a form of empathy. And white people literally couldn't do it with like, and it wasn't just a little bit. It was like the darker the skin tone, right? Like African, East Asian, there was different parameters of how much they could. And they even went as far as to say that because of that, they don't, when I'm saying white people in general, I'm including myself, that we don't recognize facial features. We don't recognize, you know, emotion as well from certain facial types, including, you know, Asian and
that's interesting. I think it also speaks a little bit. I was reading a whole thing about this, about the difference between the LGBT movement and these issues regarding race, in that you saw a lot of like, you know, conservatives turn around and say, oh, well, my son is gay, or my nephew's gay, or my aunt came out. And there was this big push in the LGBT community to have people come out and speak their truth.
Especially and celebrities. And
absolutely.
People
to be more visible about it, to make this empathy situation, you know, occur. But you can't do that when it's skin color in the mix. It doesn't work that way. I can't come out as black. Like,
no,
it doesn't really make me any more empathetic to a white person per se.
True.
So I don't know. It's really complicated. And I think it's beyond just like punitive. I think we really, if we're going to really make true strides, we are going to have to get to the psyche level of this issue. And, you know, to me, that's what the vitriol is.
Yeah.
This unwillingness to confront that.
And because there's an unwillingness, that there's so many variables and layers at play. But, you know, you and I talked about the fact that white people's interaction on social networks are even more segregated than their communities,
right?
Like white communities are hyper segregated by design. There's, you know, sundown town kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But white social media is even worse.
Right.
Like I think it was over 90% of white folks do not have more than one person of color on their Facebook.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. It's funny. It reminds me of the piece I was talking about. I'm going to be writing for Black Girl Nerds soon. I'm putting a piece together for them.
You're publishing. I like it. Thank you, Jamie.
For BGN, and shout out to them. They also have a podcast on the TWIB network, BGN, Black Girl Nerd Podcast. It's weekly. It's awesome. Jamie's awesome, too. She's the queen of all the blurbs. About kind of this situation that a lot of Black people find themselves in, that they're often the only person of their color in a lot of the groups that they identify themselves with. And it's something that white people don't ever have to confront. I think if they did, if they were frequently in a situation where, like, oh no, I'm the minority, it would give them an ability to empathize, because they would have this mindset of what that feels like, what that means. I think it's why you see people that travel a lot more. They're able to empathize with. They have this awareness about them, because they've maybe gone to a country where white is not the predominant race, and they've been in, you know, restaurants or cities or rooms, or, you know, just having different experiences like that. So anyway.
There was when we first started dating. We went to a bar.
Oh yeah,
and I made the joke about Tia showing her ass because I didn't have my Black academic
education. It was a birthday party for a friend of ours in Chicago at the Funky Buddha Lounge. This was so long ago. I can't believe you remember this.
I'm tell you why I remember. I'll let you know the story.
Well, I
remember it because I was the only white guy in the entire place, and that doesn't happen very often.
No,
and I do at that time. We were just starting to date,
right?
And there was a little bit. You know, we weren't as comfortable as we are with each other now in terms of every dialogue, in particular about race. Mm-hmm. And I do remember feeling uncomfortable.
And I remember you said something to me, and I go, that's
fucking daily
how I am all the goddamn time.
And that was the last time. I don't feel uncomfortable, obviously, anymore. And I can empathize a little bit. But that memory is perhaps a little bit burned into my brain because it was uncomfortable. There was an emotion attached to it.
For you.
For me, of course.
I don't think anybody else cared that you're away.
No, not at all.
That's funny.
Other than I couldn't dance for shit.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Still can't.
Tia was showing her ass, though. Love you, T.
Love you, T.
Okay.
But that was the joke. You said that, oh my God, look at Tia showing her ass. And I literally came back, oh my God, Tia's got her pants down? What is she doing?
I was like, oh Lord, you really are a very white guy.
Showing her ass. Do you need a separate login for Black Twitter? Is that a password?
Oh, Lord. Okay. So I guess I did want to. This is like, this week sucks, man. There's a lot of shitty news, negativity. Man. I would be remiss to not mention the idiocy of Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, who on a panel at the Grace Hopper Celebration of Women in Computing. I just want to mention that again. He was on a panel at the Grace Hopper Annual Celebration of Women in Computing.
It's like Fox News having a panel on race, and it's all white
dudes. All white dudes. Yeah, it was awesome. Told an audience of tech industry women last week that they should trust that they will get raises when they deserve them, despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary.
What was it? Do you have his verbatim?
I have the quote.
Okay.
It's not really about asking for the raise, Nadella told the crowd, but knowing and having faith that the system will actually give you the right raises as you go along. That's good karma. It will come back, he continued. That's the kind of person that I want to trust, that I want to give more responsibility
to. For a second here, so basically he's saying, we know you only get paid 70 some odd cents on the dollar.
It's less in the tech industry, just FYI.
We don't pay you for shit, but be...
They don't pay them for shit. They don't hire them for shit. It's ridiculous.
Be good little girls. Be quiet. Don't speak up. And trust us.
Trust us.
Trust us. It's karma. We'll take care of you.
Yeah.
That's ludicrous. Yeah. And you know, I'm in sales. That's my day job. And what's like the number one rule in sales? You lose 100% of the business you don't ask for.
Yeah.
If I have a salesperson that doesn't ask for a raise working for me, or I'm interviewing somebody and they don't negotiate for the salary, I don't hire them. I don't want that fucking salesperson. You don't ask for it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know if tech is – I'm not a developer. I don't do tech, so I don't know what it's like. But give me a fucking break.
Right.
He
of course later apologized. Surprise.
Oh, he apologized.
Oh, yes.
What was his intent?
I read what he said. There's no intent behind that. He says he admitted his answer was, quote, completely wrong.
Oh, he did. I thought maybe it was like, oh, I was misspoken.
Oh, no, those no, no.
Those are the
no.
words that came out of my mouth, but I didn't really mean
no.
them.
This was a full-on. Without a doubt, I wholeheartedly support programs of Microsoft and in the industry that bring women into technology and close the pay gap. I believe men and women should get equal pay for equal work.
You know what that is?
If you think you deserve a raise, you should just ask.
There's a senior legal VP that's a woman. I guarantee it. There's a senior VP that's on legal counsel that's a woman. So VP on HR that's a woman.
Oh, no. Like, it was way worse than that. Twitter went crazy because people were already watching this via live stream.
Oh,
and
yay.
Obviously, it's all tech women that are there. You know, and this is a hot button issue. You know, there's Gamergate going on. It's a lot of stuff going on with women in technology. You know, I think I was reading one study found that fewer than 3% of the 6,793 companies that received venture capital funding from 2011 to 2013 were headed by women.
3%.
3%. Disgusting. Disgusting part is because you just know that so many of those companies had women involved in their inception.
Oh, sure.
But didn't get taken to the next level.
Sure.
Maybe they didn't ask for it.
Well, and tech's already sort of like dominated by like, you know,
douchebags.
Just pimple-faced Red Bull slurping 24-hour
coding,
you know, antisocial folks.
So anyways, but my fun, the other thing that
sorry, all my development friends. I'm kidding. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, right. The other thing that got to me though was that I did post a little bit about this on Facebook, and I had quite a few white women say, you know, sarcastic, yeah, right, trust the system. Like, all like, you know, the system's against them. And I was sitting there, these are the same white women who were happy to say, let's wait. Let's trust the system and let due process take its course in Ferguson. Let's not condemn.
I'm not gonna
Darren Wilson.
I'm not gonna dox the friend that said it, but I know the white chick that said it.
It was more than one. So I know there's more than one,
but the one in particular is the most like fear-mongering Republican, ridiculous fucking like voting against women, everything rights, and there's a confrontation about voting and women's rights, really, yet now is like, oh, trust the system. That's bullshit.
It's bullshit. The system isn't right. This is why, you know, feminism is, I don't know, man, white women. I don't know about y'all. Y'all need Jesus or something else. I don't know. This situation is very interesting to me. It is this white feminist issue. It's been coming up a lot recently with a lot of the stuff that's been going on in terms of race relations, and also just generally in pop culture, you know, where, you know, Lena Dunham, for example, you know, she's naked on Girls, and it's championed by white women as some sort of, you know, feminist breakthrough. And Beyonce wears a goddamn bodysuit on HBO,
she's a whore. She's,
you
fucking
know,
it's
just ridiculous. It's such a like double standard depending on your skin tone with white women and what the right kind of feminist is.
It's not just, I would say, white people in general are and I think that's,
well, I think because I'm talking about feminism, specifically talking about white
I'm
women.
I'm thinking specifically the inability to focus on anything other than the one narrow thing, right?
Yeah.
So intersectionality, I can't have a broader lens that looks at, you know, poverty, access to food, pollution, race, class, education. I have to focus on the one thing and my thing only. And I assume there is a level of white feminists that in their, and I don't know, but I'm hypothesizing that their focus on their, right, white feminist needs don't.
It's beyond that. There is
on
just it. There is this idea of, you know, it's their way or the highway. There's only one way to be a feminist. There's only one issue that has to do with feminism, and it's the way that they've decided that it is. And this has been an issue from the beginning of the movement. Really, it's nothing new. Certainly, as I said, coming to the fore now because of lots
of stuff
help,
going on, right? But segmenting, dividing. Pitting one direction against the other.
If you all work
in concert,
absolutely.
The rising tide lifts all boats.
And truthfully, it's going to be the death knell of the feminist movement. If anything is going to be, it's going to be this division. Because it's not just between white women and black women. It's literally, in my opinion, between white women and anybody that's not a white woman. Asian, Hispanic, Native American. If you are not on their page, fuck you. That's how the movement has played out.
I'm gonna start the hashtag not all white feminists.
That's good. You should do that.
Not all white feminists.
Not all white feminists. Anyways, I mean, I do consider myself a feminist.
Are we gonna lighten the mood?
Let's switch this up. Let's fucking talk about something entertaining. I might go off still, but let's talk about
something.
Fun stuff.
Well, you wanted to talk about the DC Comics, right? They released their schedule of movies yes. that they're going
to I think they refer to it as a slate.
Their slate. Their slate. And do you have the slate written down?
I have the bullshit-ass slate. Okay.
And so I think there's two things I'm curious about.
You just go through the slate.
Well, but before we get to it, I'm wondering why, because other films don't do that. They don't tell you, like, here's the movie I'm going to produce in 2020.
No.
It's a bit weird promotion-wise, but I guess let's hear the slate.
Well, they do it because Marvel does that. They have this, like, phase one, phase two of their movies. So it'll start with, like, Iron Man 2, Captain America 1, Thor 1, and then what's their...
Avengers,
right. That's phase one. Phase two would be Iron Man.
Yeah, but they don't
3.
Have it penned out through.
They do. They have it planned out because they just started the new phase with this Guardians okay. of the Galaxy.
Well, let's hear the DC Comics,
the Johnny Come Latelys of the superhero game in the movie world.
Batman vs Superman.
Their next one will be 2016, Batman vs Superman: Dawn of Justice, which will star the most recent Superman, Henry Cavill, and one 42-year-old Ben Affleck as Batman.
You asked me about...
He's 42 right now. When this movie comes out, he's going to be 44.
Well, so when we're talking about it, I was like, I don't think Ben's that old. He just did this movie. And you turn around and you go...
He's older than you.
He's older than me.
Thank
he's,
you.
He's, I said, do you I feel said, like you could play Batman?
I said, you could play no Batman right way. Now? Exactly. No fucking... Nor should you. Well, his beard is gray.
He got that HGH.
It doesn't even matter about that. Literally, his beard is gray. Did you see Argo? That's what he looks like in real life. That's what he, honest to goodness, that's what he looks like.
All right, so the first one's Batman vs. Superman.
Anyways, and funny thing about that is they were originally supposed to, that was supposed to come out in May, and Captain America, the next Captain America, is coming out the same day. Marvel was like, fuck you, we're coming out that day. And they moved it earlier, so they're going to be out in March instead.
They're scared.
They need to be. That Captain America movie was the truth. And then they have Suicide Squad, which is coming out in August of 2016. Then 2017, they have Wonder Woman and the first Justice League movie. Ben Affleck, by the way, will be 46 by the time that comes out. Then they're going to have in 2018, The Flash and Aquaman. 2019, Shazam and the second Justice League movie, because. And then in 2020, Cyborg and Green Lantern. I'm going to just say a
few
things.
Did I miss Wonder Woman? I thought there was a Wonder Woman.
I said Wonder Woman was 2017. I'm going to mention a few things. Number one, The Flash just started on television this season. It's amazing. Such a great show. Highly recommended. It's on the CW. Kind of inhabits the same world as Arrow, which is another show on there about another superhero. And the guy who plays Flash is fantastic. And I highly recommend it. Of course, they have this wonderful thing happen on television. Great. Well received. Really doing well. Number one show on the network. And they have cast a different person to play the character in the movie. Because that makes all kinds of goddamn sense. That's
just like
wonderful.
The Fantastic Four dude.
Bravo.
Didn't they do that with the...
Just stupid.
The guy that was in Fantastic Four and now he's in Captain America, and are they doing more Fantastic Four movies?
Well, they're restarting that whole thing. I think there's going to be like a black dude okay. as one of the Fantastic Four.
I thought we were
Michael B. Jordan was going to be it. But my real problem with this entire thing is that, as I mentioned before, Marvel has had these phases going. And the first launch of their phases was the very first Iron Man movie right. starring Robert Downey Jr.
Who killed it.
Which was amazing. Huge movie. Star-making turn by Robert Downey Jr. Obviously, he already was a star, but I mean, just, you know, brand-making.
What's the launching pad for DC's?
This bullshit-ass Superman movie that came out.
That thing was so
It was
boring.
So boring, so bad. This is what you're pinning the next, whatever it is, ten years of movies on, is this piece of crap? Honest to goodness, I just don't get it.
It was bad in so many ways, but I remember specifically the first 45 minutes where they're telling the origin story we all fucking know by heart.
We already know what
45 minutes of Russell Crowe.
Really?
God damn, that was boring. And then the whole fight scenes at the end that just went on and on and on.
For no reason.
And you couldn't even tell what they were fighting. Was that a town? Was that a green screen?
They kept like they thought it was cool. They made some sort of CGI thing where they'd come into the ground and it would make the ground buckle. Ooh.
You know what it felt like? Remember how for a while the what was the Bourne Identity? Remember how they sort of like
oh, there's like fast, like yeah, I'm gonna punch you.
They
all
patented
this stuff.
A fight style that was like the camera's moving all over the place, right. And people are like, you know, parkouring it and shit. It felt like a bad version of that went on for like 30 minutes, intermixed with green screen. It was so long.
Like, I love Henry Cavill. He's a beautiful specimen of manliness, but his teeth are totally jacked up.
Superman.
Why would he not have good teeth? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, he's British, so he's got the clean on the front and funky on the bottom.
Well, whatever the case is, it's just DC, I'm not buying it. And Ben Hoofleck, Affleck as Batman,
we saw that at the new theater. I fell asleep.
The last Batman, Christian Slater played Batman, his last movie as Batman, he was 34 years old, 10 years younger than Ben Affleck, and he left because he said he was too old to play Batman.
So they got an older dude.
So they got this old ass dude to play him instead. Honestly, that makes perfect sense.
I literally fell asleep during the movie for a little bit.
That's
not a movie to hang your hat on for a decade.
It's so bad. Just bad. All right. Well, we'll see what happens, I guess.
That's movies.
2016, Batman versus Superman, of Justice.
Let's talk about TV.
Oh, yeah. So the BET Hip Hop Awards were this week. Woohoo.
Yeah, I get the ding.
Yeah. They were so awesome. BET, I'm not a big fan of BET's programming, generally speaking, but their award shows are
the Hip Hop Awards. They're always the bomb.
And even the BET Awards, they're just like chock full of amazing performances and just great music. And nobody does that shit anymore. You know, they just don't. I mean, the Grammys are good, don't get me wrong, but there's not a lot of black people in the Grammys. So yeah. I got to give it up. But the favorite thing for me that happened was the I Want to Be Down remix performance, which was just amazing. That song came out literally 20 years ago, 1994, the year I graduated from high school. And I just remember loving the song, listening to it all the time. It was just so good. So I'm going to play it because, I mean, these chicks are just they're just killing it pretty much. And so it's Brandy, MC Light, Yo-Yo, and of course the queen herself, Latifah. Here they go.
I love what they did with that white screen.
That's how the video was, the original video.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Brandy.
Love Brandy.
She didn't intend to kill that person either.
She didn't intend to. She got in trouble, though.
She did.
These chicks look good, man.
Her hair is laid.
All these chicks' hair is laid.
That, I'm loving that fro.
Here come MC Light.
Look at those hoops she got on, too. And that's how it was in the video. Came out between.
Just like this. They all came from behind, like, white screen.
I fucking love MC Light.
Down and around, even sideways.
Was that Busta? Chunky Busta. What happened?
Chunky.
I don't mean about that shaming, but he cut his hair and gained a bunch of weight, I guess. Brandy looked good.
She does look good. She got legs.
I was going to say the
gams.
Gams.
You see all the chicks in the house? They are rocking it. Here come Yo-Yo. Now here she come. She got red gloves on, y'all.
Boss.
She got the close crop. Love it. With the titties out.
I was just going to say, décolletage.
Can't play with my yo-yo.
Even though you got my money's on Queen's verse, though.
Queen is the bomb. It's the best verse ever. From the corner on my arm. How can I get with you? And Queen's hair. Let me just say this. Whoever her hairstylist is, give her a ding right there, quick. With
for the flat iron?
Laid. Laid.
Get a ding for the hot comb?
Laid. Here she coming out.
Her hair looked on point. She looked on point.
She always does.
She looks hot.
She is hot.
Yeah, you're right. She is hot. And just cut to Nelly.
Nelly.
Shout out to Rod, Country Grammar.
2000, huh?
Be my strong sexual chocolate calls. Queen.
Keep me strong for the toss. Sends us but greed. I'm out.
I'm out.
That was my favorite. It was so good. Just the chicks, they just looked hot. They sounded amazing. They literally had the backdrop just like the original video. And they didn't even do any like preamble. It was just like Brandy just popped up from behind the screen and was like, yep.
Here we go.
We're hitting the stage and we're hitting it hard. And they danced together at the end. It was just everything.
You know, for me, I fucking love the Cypher.
Oh, the Cyphers are good. They're
every
so
year
good.
They're so good. But so they did the live one. And there was a couple of the recorded ones were obviously good. And there's a couple of really good ones. But the live one, I thought, was particularly good. And
I'm going to give a quick shout out, though, in the recorded Cyphers to...
What, the white guy?
Nah,
oh,
man.
Oh, Papoose and Remy Ma. That was fucking love.
Get the hell out of
shit,
here.
Shit, that was hot.
They wasn't playing.
When they started naming all the couples
naming
that were in love.
Couples, talk
that's,
about them.
That's black love.
They
I fucking
turn around
loved it.
They walk off that cypher holding it. Hands.
Loved
I'm
it.
Just loving
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Papoose and Remy Ma. That you're right.
Hot.
That was real sexy.
That was hot. All right, go ahead. Love. Go ahead.
Well, but so on the live one, this Murder Mook, hit play for him.
Oh,
this
okay.
One
we
don't
play him. Oh, yeah.
He fucking killed it. Torches Drake.
Torched just. Yeah, it's ugly. Here you go.
Hit it.
How to sit, nice, y'all better acknowledge it, or I fight the whole show like I'm jostling, get me, all these suckers lollipopping, but they ollie-ox and they always want to get in free, king of battle rap, comfortable in first place, hair finish line, it's all mine, heard Drake, how you flash back in the acting, it's real here, triple your career, put it back in the wheelchair, get killed here, ain't no chill here, my demeanor, don't play the field here, Degrassi, it ain't greener, I'm a detonator, because of recent events now, you gotta be stressed in the elevator, I smell a paper, lead me to the power, chicks holding my raw like Mimi in the shower, horror, BT ain't mean to bring, I'm shining, Stephen Hill me, Stephen King, grinding, weed, pills, leaves, and spring, you buying, you need a deal, I need a ring, and I'm that ball that you all should fear, call, I'll be sure that it's all good here, better know your boundaries all at the 4 wood flare, jack boys surround your door and they all stood there, wait, last time they had me viewing from the back seat, second I was by dude in that blue hat seat. This time I'm on stage with a rap sheet. I'm doing pretty damn well if you ask me.
Yeah, Murder.
I'm telling me get off. My voice is in my head still telling me to get off. It's that Rick Ross weight loss chilling on the beach. Thinking since I'm here, I might as well make my own speech. Like first, wanna thank everybody that tried this me. Second, I wanna thank all you bitches that wouldn't kiss me. Third, I wanna thank all the fans that didn't miss me. It's because of y'all that we here making this history. But let me stop. Cause I see I'm going over top. Y'all don't even know what I'm saying. Y'all just know it's hot.
Yeah, it was fucking hot.
Yeah.
Murder killed it.
Yeah, he killed that.
Fucking slayed it.
Yeah.
Chicks on my rod like Mimi in the shower.
Like Mimi. And Mimi was there too. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but
nothing but awesome.
No, Murder killed it.
Yeah,
and I thought that was really good. But then when they did the I Am Hip Hop Award for Dougie Fresh,
Dougie
and he had
the
speech for his mom.
He's just, you know what it is about him? Like, he's just so, like, cool.
He seems approachable.
He's, and no, but just like, he's like the coolest cat. Like, he doesn't even need to like worry. He don't need to wear chains. He's not trying to be. He's just so, yes, I'm the greatest entertainer, and yes, I'm a legend,
well,
and that's that.
Him and Snoop did that version of Lottie that was
Dottie,
fire.
That was great.
And at the end where he did the little additional breakdown, where he puts the mic to his neck.
That reminds me of it. You know, he is one of the judges on the Apollo Live show on BET, which is funny, another BET show, which is great. Tony Rock hosted. It's so funny. We absolutely love the show, and we've been to Apollo, and it's such a great place to be, and just the show's great. If you get to New York, definitely recommend going to do that, going to see the amateur show. But the very last episode of this season, they went crazy. And Dougie just like took the mic up and just started, you know, going crazy on the mic. And everybody was so, you could just tell the whole room was getting hyped. And Diddy in the piece about him said that when Dougie walks in the room, everybody just hopes that he'll pick the mic up. And I thought that's when you know, like, you know, the respect is so high for somebody when every professional is like, man, Dougie's here. Maybe he'll jump on the mic right quick.
We saw that Jill Scott show where him and DJ Jazzy Jeff was on the wheels.
Right.
And he just sort of emceed and did a bunch of beatboxing.
He was so good at that. He did like all the breaks, all the breaks in between. What was the Jill Scott picnic tour or something? Oh, it was so good. That was such a great
concert. That was for your birthday a bunch of years ago.
Yeah, that was here in Philly. That was really good.
And they even had like a, I won't call it like a set break, but they had like a 20-minute like the whole friggin' thing. Dance party.
Yeah. They played Biggie. They played everybody. It was so good. It was so good. It was so fun.
But I think we should also talk about American Horror Story because that shit has been fucking awesome. Let me tell you something about that shit.
First of all, it's just been off the chain. I don't even know what to say. They got Kathy Bates with a beard. They got Jessica Lange with no legs, two heads on Sarah Paulson, and three tits on Angela Bassett. Let me just say, bravo, Ryan Murphy. God bless you and all of your crazy shenanigans and whatever goes on in your freaky ass head to bring this show to us.
The seasons, each progressive one has gotten like a little bit creepier in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
And this one, like, honestly, when the dude hit Twisty the Clown and his fucking grin flew the fuck off.
Oh, God.
I was like creepy. Like, and my skin was crawling.
And I had heard Ryan had sent an interview. He was like, yeah, he's got a creepy mask on, but what's below his mask is way worse. And I was like, oh, no. I don't want to see that.
I'm itching right now. It's terrible.
Oh, it's terribly awesome. So the funny thing is that apparently the Clowns of America International, who is a gathering place for serious-minded amateurs, semi-professionals, and professional clowns, are taking a stand against serial killer Twisty the Clown. The COAI president, Glenn Kohlberger.
What's the COAI again? Clown?
The Clowns of America International.
That sounds like a CIO. Clowns of America International. Okay.
In the clown world, Mr. Kohlberger is known as Clyde D. Scope, by the way. Just so you know, Kaleidoscope.
Oh, he has a clowning name.
Of course. Okay. He is a clown. Quote, Hollywood makes money sensationalizing the norm, he told The Hollywood Reporter. They can make any situation, no matter how good or pure, and turn it into a nightmare. We do not support in any way, shape, or form any medium that sensationalizes or adds to chlorophobia, which is clown fear.
He fucking wrote chlorophobia?
Yeah. It's so funny.
But this wasn't like a joke? This was serious?
Oh, he's very serious.
He wasn't wearing his clown?
He can't quite figure out how something so sweet and well-meaning as clowning could have gone so wrong, he continued. I choose not to play into any of it. The more attention we give it, it just gives it more fuel.
Well, but what's even funnier is we were watching the show the other night, and I didn't know about this clown thing coming out, and I'm on Twitter, and I see a bunch of fucking all clown hashtags.
Not all clowns.
Not all clowns. And I'm like, well, this is like thinking it's funny, like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And then you tell me, like, no, this COIA dude really wrote. But so the best one was not all clowns, but John Wayne Gacy, right?
Right.
He was a serial killer and a clownist.
Right.
Not all clowns.
But apparently the other thing that's been going on, there's this Wasco clown, which is that real Wasco clown online on Twitter. And he's been like creepily posting photos from around this town, like really creepy.
What town?
Wasco, California, numerous times in the past week.
At like 4 a.m. and shit?
Yes, just like with just a creepy bouquet of balloons walking around the streets on social media, like, come find me. I'll give you a balloon. But just like,
wait,
super
what was that tweet
creepy.
Right there? I'm the clown without a face?
I'm a clown with a tear away face, here in a flash and gone without a trace. In our town of Halloween. It's creepy as hell.
That is creepy as shit.
It's so creepy.
That is creepy as shit.
He chose to remain anonymous, but he told the local reporter that his identity is part of a year-long photography project conducted with his wife.
Oh, fuck.
The police don't seem too worried. They say that nothing's been committed. But look at these pictures. Look at this. These are the pictures.
That's so
creepy. But the Baskerville, also in California, they've apparently received reported calls for clowns swaying machetes, baseball bats, those type of things. They want to stop it. They're going to make arrests on this. They've already made one arrest. A teenager brought in on suspicion of annoying a minor after he dressed as a clown.
inappropriate.
He didn't have any weapons, but he chased another teen, and the other teen was pretty shaken up. And it says the original night clown was the Northampton clown who was spotted on the streets of a small UK town last year. He doesn't juggle. He doesn't twist balloons into animal shapes. He just stares, one resident said at the time.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
It's so creepy.
It's like straight out of Stephen King.
Oh, my gosh. It's so super creepy. Anyways.
You got to put those Twitter handles on our page because I'll follow that clown. I'll fucking follow.
You want to follow the West Coast clown?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So the COIA or COAI, whatever it was, they have, 8 commandments of clowning. So I thought it'd be fun to just kind of go through those 8 commandments. Cause I just think clowning is pretty hilarious. So number 1, I will keep my acts, performance and behavior in good taste while I'm in costume and makeup. I will remember at all times that I've been accepted as a member of the clown club only to provide others, principally children, with clean clown comedy entertainment. I will remember that a good clown entertains others by making fun of himself or herself and not at the expense or embarrassment of others. That's number 1.
So number 1, keep your penis in your pants.
Yep.
Don't make fun of the kids.
Correct. Number 2, I will learn to apply my makeup in a professional manner. I will provide my own costume. I will carry out my appearance and assignment for the entertainment of others and not for personal gain or personal publicity when performing for either the international club or ally events. I will always try to remain anonymous while in makeup and costume as a clown, though there may be circumstances when it's not reasonable to do so.
Okay.
Number 3, I will neither drink alcoholic beverages nor smoke while in makeup or clown costume. Also, I will not drink alcoholic beverages prior to any clown appearances. I will conduct myself as a gentleman or lady, never interfering with other acts, events, spectators, or individuals. I will not become involved in or tolerate sexual harassment or discrimination based on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, age, disability, or any protected status.
Homie, the clown don't play that shit.
He don't.
But, you know, notice you could get ripped right afterwards.
Yeah, don't after the fact is fine.
Don't drink before.
Isn't that like the Cardi life? Like you get shit-faced afterwards?
Fourth graders are gone. Fucking open
Let's do it.
Let's shoot some heroin.
Pop the keg open. Number 4, I will remove my makeup and change into my street clothes as soon as possible following my appearance so that I cannot be associated with any incident that may be detrimental to the good name of clowning. I will conduct myself as a gentleman lady at all times.
So these night clowns are not... They're not part of this.
They're not part of
the
COAI.
Yeah.
No, they're not. No. They're in bat. They're not. Number 5, while on appearance and makeup and costume, I will carry out the directives of the producer or his designated deputies. I will abide by all performance rules without complaint in public. So you can complain behind the scenes, but not in front of people. Number 6, I will do my very best to maintain the best clown standards of makeup, costuming, properties, and comedy. Number 7, I will appear in as many clown shows as I possibly can. Like why does that need to be said? Clearly, that's what you want to do if you're a clown. Yeah. And number 8, I will be committed to providing an atmosphere free of discrimination and harassment for clowns of all ages to share ideas and learn about the art of clowning. So like, you know, don't turn away any other people from clowning either.
No clown shaming.
No clown shaming. No clowns were harmed in the making of this podcast either.
Not all clowns. Are part of the clowns of America International.
Correct. So the last kind of cool thing that happened on TV this week, just the TV industry, is that HBO has announced that starting next year.
That's a double ding.
Yes. They're going to be offering a standalone streaming-only service so you can subscribe to HBO without any tethering to your cable provider, which is just freaking awesome. I anticipate many other networks and content providers doing the same. CBS has already announced that they will be offering the same, and they're a Viacom property, so that's kind of interesting. I just think it's going to be great for us consumers. It's about time, you know.
We were looking at our cable bill recently, and we're thinking, oh, you know, maybe we can save a couple of bucks here or there. And they bundle everything together in these packages, and it was like you can save $10, and you maybe don't get like Lifetime and Wii and a couple other like Oxygen networks. But then to save like the next step was to save $40, and they killed everything. You don't get MTV,
You don't get Comedy Central,
like. How do you not get MTV and Comedy Central?
It's crazy.
Like, it's either basic, like, C-SPAN.
Or a billion
NBC
channels.
Or a billion channels.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
That you don't want.
Right. So that's all I have for TV. As we do at the end of all of our podcasts, we'll do a little standing. I'm going to stand for this week, the Three Guys On podcast, which is threeguyson.com, where three comedians, Randy Terrence, Tim Miller, and Andy Klein, discuss news, comedy, and anything else relevant in their lives. It's so funny. They have just such a great chemistry. It's rare to have a podcast with three people that work as well as they do. They each kind of have a different role on the show, and it's just really funny. So it's threeguyson.com. Highly recommend
it. They podcast. What are they doing?
They do. They podcast. They do not spreecast so that I know of, but their website's threeguyson.com, and you can check them out there.
Once a week,
they come out. I think they do it on Fridays, I think.
I have not listened. I'll have to check it out.
It's really good. It's funny. I'll leave just with one final clip here for all of us, just so we can take these words to heart going into the weekend.
By yourself. Why about yourself?
Can I? Worry about
that
yourself.
That shit cracks me up. Worry about yourself. So that's it, man.
That might be the name of this episode. Worry
I think
about
it
yourself.
Is. Worry about yourself.
I was thinking maybe not all clowns, but.
No, I think worry about yourself.
Worry about yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right. Episode 5.
We did it, Joe.
In the can. High five.